Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Today, Amy and I will be discussing about cats and dogs. Chicken Soup has two wonderful newly released books titled The Cat Did What and The Dog Did What. The books are a collection of inspiring and entertaining stories about the beautiful pets in our lives and how we can learn much from them. Good morning, Amy. Welcome back to my kitchen. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm good. Good. Thank you so much for having me on. I feel like I'm bringing on with me 202 dog and cat friends, because that's the number of stories we're talking about. So thanks for letting us all into your kitchen.
Oh, fantastic. I love the two books. They are hilarious. They're inspiring. They're really funny. So congratulations.
Yeah, I'm really excited about them. It's always fun to make dog and cat books. We tend to make them for our readers every 18 to 24 months because we get so many great stories. And I'm always blown away by the power of the stories. I was preparing for our interview today, and I was reviewing some of the stories at the kitchen table, and I had tears coming out of my eyes reading some of the stories, and I was hoping my husband didn't notice.
You guys had Miranda Lambert wrote a wonderful foreword for the books. Please tell us about that.
So Miranda Lambert is very well known for her love of animals, and she is a supporter of the American Humane Association. She is a supporter of a bunch of different shelters, including one that she really spends a lot of time at. And she's a wonderful spokesperson for all of those millions of dogs and cats out there who are waiting in shelters to be adopted. And one of our missions at Chicken Soup for the Soul is to create awareness of all of these wonderful pets waiting to go home with people from the shelters. And Miranda wrote forewords for both of the books talking about her own experiences with dogs and cats. We have pictures of her as a little girl with her favorite cat and her favorite dog. And the royalties from the books to honor Miranda Lambert for writing the forewords are going to one of her chief causes, the American Humane Association. And so the forewords are very moving about the value of adopting animals from shelters, also very interesting about her own experiences with dogs and cats, and then have led to us making what will be a very substantial contribution to the American Humane Association.
Fantastic. Why is it important to adopt shelter dogs and cats?
There are about 3 million dogs and cats right now waiting in shelters. And every year, about 3 million are adopted, and another 3 million never get adopted. And, of course, they face a very grim fate. You know, there are some no-kill shelters, but then there are plenty of shelters that just euthanize. If I don't even think euthanize sounds so nice, doesn't it?
They
kill the animals when they're not adopted. And these shelter animals are wonderful, loving pets. They're the sweetest, and people have such incredible value added to their lives by bringing home these dogs and cats. And so we are always stressing that at Chicken Soup for the Soul. We use shelter dogs and cats as the models on the packaging for our line of dog food and cat food, and we always feature adopted animals in our stories. And we not only support the American Humane Association, but we support a lot of other shelters. And so it's just part of what we do. It's one of our missions, because not only are we a company that makes books and, you know, sells them and gets revenues from them, but we're also a company that uses the revenues from our books to do good. And helping dogs and cats in shelters is one of the things that we do with our money.
That's fantastic. It is all about the unconditional love that you guys provide.
Yeah, and we actually did these books as part of a much larger project, because not only did we bring in Miranda Lambert and support the American Humane Association for her, but we also are using these books to help specific shelters. And so the first shelter that we helped was in Las Vegas in July. There's a big shelter there called the Animal Foundation. And I went out to Las Vegas in July, went on various talk shows, had adoptable, adorable little dogs in my lap, and we gave thousands of books to that shelter, and every person who adopted a dog or cat went home with either Chicken Soup for the Soul, the cat did what, or Chicken Soup for the Soul, the dog did what, and the shelter had something happen that has never happened before in their history. Every single cat in the shelter got adopted within 1 week after we made our offer to send people home with a book.
Awesome.
They adopted out 255 cats in 1 week. They were cleaned out. We are thrilled by that, absolutely thrilled.
Yeah.
And we've sent them more books to continue with that.
Mm-hmm.
The program runs through the end of August. So we're always working for the shelters, and we're going to do this in other parts of the country as well.
That's fantastic. Were there challenges as well?
Well, when you work on this kind of project, you read so many heartwarming stories, but you also read so many stories that make you sad, because you read about the dogs and cats that weren't adopted, or you read about dogs and cats that died too young, or even the ones that died at the appropriate age. You read these heart-wrenching stories about the dog. That's why I was crying at the breakfast table this morning. This dog, he died at age 13, and he was a large dog, so that wasn't an appropriate age for him to die. But he looked up at his owner with love and seemed to understand when she took him to the vet, and he wagged his tail one more time before he slipped off to sleep. And it's hard to read stories about dogs and cats dying, even when it is at the appropriate time and under good circumstances, you know.
Yeah.
So we were all very moved by these stories. We laughed a lot, but we also teared up a lot.
Right. Overall, in the country, there is a move now in terms of pets are no longer pets, especially dogs and cats. They are a member of the family.
They are, and they actually are very useful members of the family. They don't just sit around and do nothing. And I know we're going to talk about some of your favorite stories from the book today. And you chose a lot of stories where the cats and the dogs demonstrated unbelievable intuition, helped people with health challenges, saved them from you know, being burned up in a fire, saved them from all kinds of potential disasters. These animals, even when they're not specifically trained to be service animals or therapy animals, they serve that function anyway in every family that takes them in.
That's true. So true. So what would you like for the readers to gain from reading these wonderful books?
I would like them to gain a new respect for dogs and cats. I would like them to think about going to a shelter when they're looking for a new pet, and to make sure that they don't go and buy a dog from a puppy mill, you know, that they only get their dogs from from breeders, you know, well-qualified breeders, or from shelters. You can even find lots of purebred dogs at shelters. And I would like them to go away also keeping their minds open about adopting senior dogs, or at least grown dogs, not just puppies. And I'd also like people to go away thinking about adopting black cats, because there's a huge problem with people leaving the black cats behind in the shelters, which is just a ridiculous superstition. And all of these poor black cats are being left behind and killed, and that's just ridiculous.
What I like about the book is that it covers so many different areas in terms of how the cat live or how the dog live in our lives. You have happy moments. You have challenging moments in the sense that the cat or dog will be a rascal and always be a rascal, but it's funny in hindsight, of course.
Always funny in hindsight, right? The people's favorite stories seem to be about when the dog ate the Christmas turkey or whatever. Like, those end up being when the dog or the cat did their mischievous things. Those seem to be everyone's favorite stories.
Right, right. So in the end, those rascals does put a smile on your face.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wonderful. I have selected, as usual, several stories from the book, and I thought these are just wonderful stories that are really moving in a way, and they're funny, and they're fun, they're very engaging. I've selected seven from the cat's book, as well as seven from the dog's book. But I have to tell everyone that you need to buy the book and read the remainder of the stories, because they're all wonderful, very engaging, and it's heartfelt, no question about it.
Yeah, what people write very well when they're writing about their pets who they love. Mm-hmm. And you're right, every single story is fabulous. I wish I had the time to just sit and reread all of them, because I really do love them.
Fantastic. Let us start with the first story. This is in the category of Who, Me? And the first story is Mander the Magician by Jill Burns.
Yeah, so I guess people who know cats know that cats can be quite the escape artists, actually dogs too. And in this case, there were three kids, and the husband and the wife, and the kids kept getting in trouble because this cat, Mander, kept appearing, even though Mander was locked up in what they called a cattery. This family had five cats, and they built this fabulous room just for the cats with all kinds of catwalks and platforms and hanging toys and litter boxes. It was just like a big cat playroom. And they were doing construction in their house, and so they didn't want the cats getting out and getting hurt. But Mander kept showing up, and the kids kept getting in trouble for it, and the kids kept denying that they had left the door open to the cat's room. So the husband finally said, all right, I'm going to go shut the door. And the husband went and put the cat away and came back to the dinner table where the whole family was assembled, and right behind him is the cat. So the kids start roaring with laughter. So then they finally decided that the cat really was getting out, and so they went and they looked, and this cat was opening a round doorknob, not a handle, but a round doorknob, and getting out. And so it was just really fun, and of course, this is the kind of story that becomes family legend, Mander the Magician. And they ended up having to put a deadbolt on the outside of the cat's door.
I chose that story because it reminded me a lot about my dog, Bentley. I remember it was so funny that we had put Bentley in the laundry room. When we leave, somehow by the time when we get back, Bentley is all over the house. We couldn't figure out how he did it. So one day I just happened to look in the window, the outside window, and here he is, using his hands, basically his feet, I guess, hands, and push on the lever of the handle door, and just got out just about immediately as we closed. I guess he could hear the back door close, and he's out of the laundry room.
That's just so funny. They're really very smart and quite determined also. How big was Bentley? Was he tall enough to reach that handle?
Yeah, he's a 90-pound dog, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a big dog. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Since I had Bentley when he was a little puppy, I remember when I was cooking and so forth, he would stand up in the kitchen to see what I'm preparing on the island, as well as in the kitchen sink and so forth, because he was curious. Because, like, I guess I'm his dad.
Yeah, that is funny. It is. Dogs have such a variety of sizes that you can have completely different experiences owning a large dog versus a small dog.
So I had to choose that story. I thought that was really funny. The second one is in the category of Who, Me? At the Mall by Heather Ray Rodin.
Yeah, I had to read this twice to really believe what she said. So this woman really wanted a kid, but she was newly married, and so they got a little kitten, and so she was putting all of her maternal impulses into raising this kitten, and she would take the kitten on a leash with her and walk it in the mall with her, which you don't really see. You don't see people walking cats on a leash, not very often.
Yeah.
So people would always stare at her, and then because she really should have had a kid in addition to the kitten, she started dressing the poor little cat. And one day she put him in a little turtleneck sweater, and she took him to the mall, and everybody was staring at her. She was very proud because even though he had resisted putting the sweater on, clearly he looked fabulous in it because everybody was looking at her and pointing at her as she strode around the mall with her cat on a leash. And she didn't feel anything wrong with the leash. It seemed like the cat was trotting along with her. You know, there wasn't any big pull on the leash. And then she finally turned around and looked, and she realized the cat was lying on his back. And he was just lying there, and the sweater was so slippery that she was dragging him around the mall without feeling any pull on the leash. And that's why everybody was looking at her. She was absolutely mortified. She ran out of the mall and never went back, never walked the cat on a leash again.
Unusual, cruel, and unjust punishment for the cat. I thought that was funny. And I can just see that happening because sometimes we just don't realize we overdo things with our pets. Of course, in this case, with the sweater, I mean, obviously, the cat probably had a great time just being pulled around.
Yeah.
It's part of playing, so to speak. The next category is very, very interesting. I love this category, Learning to Love the Cat. And the story is Good Vibrations by Diane Nicholson.
Yeah, so, you know, there's always couples where one person loves the cat and one person only tolerates the cat. And often it's the husband who only tolerates the cat. And so Diane's husband, Harry, you know, put up with the cat. But if it had been up to him, they wouldn't have had the cat. But they had adopted him. You know, they found him outside. And he was supposed to be a barn cat, but he ended up being an indoor cat. And then Harry had surgery for colorectal cancer. And so he came back to the house and, you know, very gingerly got himself into the recliner chair. And the cat was not allowed on the chair ever. But this time the cat intuitively knew that he should break the rules. And so he looked at Harry very carefully. Then he very gingerly jumped onto the footrest of the recliner, very carefully inched his way up to Harry's body, slid into Harry's lap, but not touching Harry's painful incision from the surgery. And then he lay there for an hour purring, and it really helped Harry with the pain. And then he very carefully, after an hour of purring and creating this great vibration to ease Harry's pain, he very gingerly walked down off the recliner and away. And it was like he knew that this was a time to break the rules, get on the chair with the guy who only tolerated him. And Harry was very grateful. And so it just showed remarkable intuition on the part of the cat.
I honestly believe animals do have the sixth sense, especially like cats and dogs, because you hear those stories all the time in terms of how the cats are able to pick up those vibes of their owners or someone who is not feeling well and be there for them.
Yeah, and maybe it's something where the animals that had the intuition were the ones who were, you know, allowed around the campfire, right, during the old days a long time ago. And then over time, the ones with intuition were the ones that survived because they were welcomed into the domestic, you know, the domestic environment of early humans. And so that intuitive ability became stronger and stronger as those were the animals that kept breeding and remaining as, you know, the favored pets. And it is one of the wonderful things that they bring into families. They really do provide a lot of value. They're not just useless hangers-on. And I know cats in particular have that reputation that they're aloof and they're just there to be fed, but they, in fact, really do serve a useful function in a family.
Well, cats are a little bit more sophisticated than dogs are. How's that?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm a dog person, personally.
Dog is more like a friend. A cat is something that you have and has a different sort of feeling to it.
Well,
very
that's
independent.
True. That's true. Mm-hmm. Dogs are more just out there and they let it all hang out. It's true.
Yeah. The next category is really cool. Who rescued who? And I thought this category was really, really funny. It's animal power, the intuitiveness that these animals have among themselves as well as with people. in their life. The particular story is Joey's Entourage by Maya Maureen.
So one of the things that I noticed in these books was how cats and dogs would abandon their normal role as predators and absolutely understand when an animal was not to be attacked and when an animal was different and was part of a family. And that was very interesting, that you could actually trust them to understand the difference. And so in this case, you had Mariah's three cats who were certainly predators and would always go after, you know, the little animals outside. But Mariah, by accident, I can't say she really adopted a squirrel. I think she got adopted by a squirrel. It was a little baby squirrel. Her dog had, you know, run it up a tree, and she saved this little baby squirrel from a tree, and it seemed to be orphaned because it just kept coming back to her. It seemed like it imprinted on her. And so she ended up having to bring the squirrel inside and figure out how to save its life. She was very responsible, though, and she really tried to limit the amount of time she spent with the squirrel so that it would be able to go back out into the wild. And the three cats were observing the squirrel and initially viewed him as predators, and she saw them, you know, licking their lips while trying to get into his cage. But then over time, they realized that this was something different. And so then she finally let the squirrel go because she was trying to, you know, send it back out into the wild where it belonged. And the cats ended up bringing the squirrel back home. They escorted the squirrel home, which was really something. And they protected the squirrel from any marauding dogs out there. So finally she had to drive the squirrel many miles away and release him so that he actually would stay out in the wild. But it was really interesting that these squirrels who were routinely, I mean, these cats who were routinely bringing home, you know, dead rodents, were so protective of this squirrel. They understood the difference.
Yeah. That story reminds me of all the animated animal stories where the cats, dogs, the pigs, the horses talk to each other.
Exactly. Well, you know, dogs, I mean, animals will have pets. You know how they take, like, the thoroughbred racehorses and they'll give them, like, a pony as a pet or as a dog as a pet. And there's lots of stories about dogs taking a kitten as a pet or a cat taking a puppy as a pet or whatever. They definitely do cross over just like we cross over. We're animals and we love dogs and cats. And they're animals and they can love other kinds of animals as well.
That's true. So true. The next category, this is really cool, Four-Legged Therapist. And the title is Family Counselor by Melissa Kraft.
Yeah, we made a whole chapter called Four-Legged Therapist because we had so many stories about how cats made a difference in people's human relationships. Mm-hmm. And so we thought that was very important. And in this case, Melissa Kraft and her husband were going through a stressful time in their marriage, which often happens when you have young kids. They had a very hyper 4-year-old son, and there was a lot of strain in their day-to-day life. And they ended up reluctantly adopting a stray cat. And almost instantly, the cat brought happiness and laughter back into their house. And there had been a marriage counselor who had told them that in order to survive raising small children, they had to learn to laugh together. And Melissa says in her story that Sammy, the adopted cat, was the answer. She just kept them laughing constantly. And she said even the dogs seemed happier now that they had this crazy little cat living with them. And so I'm quoting from her story. She says, adopting Sammy has done wonders for our family. Steve is always laughing and smiling. That's her husband. Trig, that's the 4-year-old, is less hyper. Her 19-year-old son feels comforted by Sammy at night while the rest of the world is sleeping. And so she says she feels very lucky that an ordinary cat managed to, you know, worm her way into their home and bring happiness back into their family.
So true, though, because when I grew up, we have cats and dogs, and I've never seen any cat or dog that are unhappy.
Yeah, nobody ever says we adopted a cat and it ruined our lives. Everybody talks about how their lives were enriched by having this animal that they brought in. Absolutely.
Yeah. My mom loves animals, and we even have our cats and dogs eat together from the same big bowl. I mean, they don't fight. And
wow.
That's wonderful.
That's really nice. That's a good lesson for the kids, too. If the dogs and cats can get along, you can get along with your brother, you know?
Yeah. That's a different story within me and my sister, though. Growing up, that is. The next category is what I've learned from the cat. And this is wonderful because this is where, when you look back in time, there's so many things that we can learn from our animals. And the story is The Wonder of Birdie by Gail Salas.
Yeah, so we had a lot of stories where people realized that they should actually pay attention to what their cats or dogs were trying to tell them. And in this one, this couple was watching television, but then they noticed that their cat, whose name was Birdie, was staring at their wall thermostat. And she would not stop staring at that thermostat, even when they offered her a special treat, which normally would have commanded all of her attention. She wouldn't stop staring at the thermostat. So they turned off the TV, and all of a sudden they heard this hissing noise coming from the thermostat. And then they saw little flashes of light coming from it. And they realized it was short-circuiting. And they turned off the circuit breaker and pulled the thermostat out of the wall, and it had already started burning one of the wooden studs in the wall. They would have gone to bed with a fire brewing in their wall if it hadn't been for this cat. And so this cat saved their lives, saved their home. And she, you know, the writer says, if it hadn't been for one curious little cat, our home might have succumbed to the devastation of a fire. And we see so many stories at Chicken Soup for the Soul about dogs and cats saving people's lives or saving their homes from disaster.
So true. I have a friend who lives in North Carolina, and he is legally deaf. He told me a story about how his dog, Charlie, saved him when he was on the road for a speaking engagement. And, of course, at night when he sleeps, he takes the hearing aid off. Up to that point, I've never heard of a dog that is used to hear things. And obviously,
yes,
Charlie
heard. Yes, there are hearing dogs. Yep.
Yeah. I never did realize that, because a lot of times we just see a seeing eye dog, so to speak. When I found out about it, apparently Charlie heard the fire alarm went off on the floor that he was on, and shook him up, pull him, and make him realize that there was something going on. So they end up leaving the room, and come to find out it was the best thing they did. Of course, there was a fire in the hotel. Obviously, it didn't burn everything down, but there was a fire in the hotel.
Yeah, therapy dogs or service dogs, like hearing dogs or seeing eye dogs, are great. I mean, and they really take their responsibility seriously. I think that dogs really take pride in those functions that they perform. They're really wonderful dogs, and they only use them for a few years for that function, and then they get to retire and just become dogs again, you know, and have fun.
Yeah. This was a wonderful story for me to talk about, because I never did realize that they do have dogs that are used to hear things, and that's fascinating. The next one is, again, in the category of what I've learned from the cat, and this one is a very interesting story as well. Shut Up, Boy Cat by Bonnie Compton Hansen.
Yeah, so in this case, this couple had put their three preschoolers to bed, so of course they were exhausted, and they went to sleep, and they were, you know, really, really asleep because they had three little kids, and this cat just wouldn't leave them alone. The cat was meowing, pouncing on them, pawing at the covers, moaning, and the wife was just furious, and she got out of bed. She said, "Shut up, boy cat, stop it." But then he leaped off the bed, and he forced her to follow him, and he went into the boy's room and leaped straight onto one of her son's beds. And sure enough, Her son had a raging fever. He was barely breathing. They rushed him to the emergency room where he was treated. And it was all because of the cat. The parents would never have known. Everyone would have slept through this boy's illness, and who knows what would have happened if they hadn't taken him to the emergency room.
Just a classic example of how pets in our lives can help us in many ways.
Yeah, and we have to listen to them because they really do know what they're talking about. Yeah, and you'll find we have stories like that in our dog book as well. Yeah, I can't say enough about the value of bringing these pets in, which is why we encourage people so much to go to the shelters and select whichever dog or cat just calls out to you from in that cage.
You have broken down the book into several wonderful categories. Can you tell us a little bit about those categories? Because they are just wonderful in terms of the who, me section, both in the cats and the dog section, is the kind of thing that is almost human, you know, like, who, me?
Yeah, because they do that,
that,
right?
Yeah.
They absolutely
do
that. Like, I didn't do that. I didn't knock that over. I didn't eat all that food. I didn't eat your turkey for Christmas. I didn't do any of that. So we have, in both books, we have a chapter called Who, Me? And then we also have a chapter called Learning to Love the Cat. And in the dog book, we have Learning to Love the Dog. And, I mean, we found we could really make the same chapters in both books because the experiences were very similar. And then we have a chapter called Who Rescued Who? Because people think, oh, well, I rescued the cat or the dog that I found freezing outside in my yard or that I found at the shelter. But often it's the cat or dog who rescues the human. And then we have a chapter where people tell some of their really funny stories about the mischievous things their dogs or cats have done, and that chapter is called That Little Rascal. And then we, in both books, we have a chapter called Four-Legged Therapist because, oh my goodness, we could have made a whole book just with stories about dogs and cats helping humans overcome their own mental illnesses or just emotional distresses, helping them repair relationships with other people and their families, just acting as mental health counselors or therapists in general for their humans. And then in both books, we have a chapter about what I learned from the dog or what I learned from the cat. Then we have another chapter about rascally behavior. And that chapter is called Who's in Charge Here? Because especially if you're a cat owner, you do sometimes wonder, and now I even see that with dogs, the people whose dogs have, you know, cooked chicken served to them practically in a silver platter, and the dog sleeps in their bed and has his own pillow, and the dog, you know, the dogs have all these things that are just for them. I mean, we do really treat them like spoiled little kids, but we wouldn't treat our kids that way because we wouldn't want them to get spoiled. Right. And then we have a chapter in both books called Meant to Be, which is where people, you know, somehow find a dog or cat in a shelter or it wanders into their yard or someone gives it to them, and then they say, oh my gosh, this relationship was meant to be. I mean, my life would not have been the same without this happening. This absolutely was meant to be. Like a greater force was at work making this dog or cat come into my life. And then we have a whole chapter called There's No Place Like Home in both books, and often we have stories about dogs and cats finding their way back home after being lost, or finding their way to you know, a family's old home and they can't figure out how they did it. And then finally, because we do love these stories about dogs and cats being little rascals, we have a last chapter in each book called Bad Dog and Bad Cat. And it's like when somebody goes up and says, bad dog, bad, bad dog. And, you know, the dog thinks you're saying, I love you, dog. So that's why we named those chapters that way, because people are telling the stories about the bad behavior, but really loving every bit of it.
So true, so true. So let's us get started with the dog book. I love these dog stories. They're just wonderful, wonderful stories. So let us start with the first one, Who, Me? And the story is Matters of the Doggy Heart by Katrina Circo.
So, you know, people say that we will look at dogs and cats and we will try to give them human emotions that aren't really there. But in this case, it really does seem like this male dog had a crush on this female dog. So this woman had a little female dog, and this little female dog was very frightened of other dogs, particularly large black dogs, and she supposedly had been somehow assaulted by, you know, a big black dog in her past before this family adopted her. So she was very frightened of other dogs, and this woman's neighbor had a black lab, and so the little female dog was afraid of this friendly black lab. Mm-hmm. And the black lab seemed to just fall in love with this little female dog. And so he started, like, wailing and whining and crying for his owner to let him out whenever the female dog walked past his house. And so finally she let him out. And he, before he ran out, he went over and got one of his treats, which, you know, were very precious to him. He might have gotten one treat a day. He took his treat, and he ran out with it, and he put it at the feet of the female dog as she snatched it up, and and the black lab stood there smiling and wagging his tail. And every single day after that, for years, this black lab whined and cried until his owner gave him something, and he ran out and put it at the feet of the female dog. And he did that for years until the female dog died, and he never did it for any other dog, even though he lived many more years after that. So I thought that was a really sweet story and very surprising.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Amy, that's courting.
It was unrequited. He never really got anything. He just kept bringing her gifts every single day. I know. He was quite devoted to her.
You may want to slide that story to your husband. You know, honey, you might want to read this one right here.
That's right. I'm just kidding. How many of us have that kind of devotion?
That's right. The next story in the same category, Who, Me, the title of the story is An Angel on Earth by Jody Seitz.
Yes, yeah, so this story is a great story and also makes a very good point, because a lot of people are afraid of certain dogs that have undeserved bad reputations, such as Rottweilers, pit bulls, German Shepherds. And in this case, this couple went and adopted a little Rottweiler black lab mix. Mm-hmm. And the woman didn't really want it. She said to her husband, "We lost our last dog just 2 months ago. We live in a tiny apartment. We can't afford a big dog." And her husband was saying, "Please, I promise I'll take care of it." And she said he was pitiful. "I was looking at a grown man who had suddenly morphed into a five-year-old." So she let him get the dog, and the dog ended up being unbelievably intelligent. He was just a puppy, but he was completely housebroken in 2 days. She said he was the smartest dog they had ever had. And this dog loved squeaky toys, and he had a big wicker laundry basket filled with squeaky toys. And every evening he'd pull all the toys out and make what they called the toy parade. He'd pull a toy out, make it squeak a while, then put it down, then get the next one. And he knew the name of every toy. So if they said to him, "Go and get the squeaky carrot," he would go and get the squeaky carrot. And he'd root for the basket until he found the right one. And I have found that with dogs that I know. If you tell them the name of their toy, they'll go and get the right one.
Yeah.
So then 3 years later, the woman was pregnant with their first child, and she was put on total bed rest. She was really depressed. She had just lost her mother a few months before. Now she was at risk of losing this pregnancy. And the dog would sit by her. And one day she fell asleep, lying on the couch, and she woke up and found that the dog was sitting just inches from her face. His whole body was wiggling. He was so excited. He was wagging his tail. He gave her a big lick across her face. And then she looked around, and she couldn't believe it. her entire body and the couch were covered with all of the dog's 50 toys. And he was trying to help her. He'd covered her whole body with toys. It was like she had a big blanket of toys over her. And she ended up having a miscarriage, but that dog was there with her the whole time. And she was so grateful, and she realized how she had completely misunderstood what a Rottweiler would actually be like, because this was the sweetest, most intelligent, most compassionate dog they ever had.
It's just a heartwarming story, and again, it shows how the dog is able to read and connect with the vibrations of its owner.
Yeah, it was I mean, dogs really do improve people's health, and even though she lost that baby, the whole thing went better because that dog was with her the whole time, and so she didn't feel like she was alone going through this terrible loss.
Right, right. The next category is learning to love the dog again, and this one is just a wonderful story. The title of the story is Leonidas M.D. by Charlotte Hopkins.
So this is another example of somebody adopting a dog that has an undeserved bad reputation. And this woman, Charlotte, adopted a pit bull. And she was very frightened because she had heard how pit bulls were so awful. But I have to say, everyone I know who has ever owned a pit bull has said that they're so sweet and so nice. And I think that bad reputation comes from the fact that certain bad people will take pit bulls and train them to be attack dogs, but they're not inherently going to act like that. So this woman got very sick with pneumonia, and then she came home from the emergency room, and she had medications she had to take, and she would try to take her medication at the same time each day, concluding with her last dose at 10 p.m. so that she could sleep through the night after that. And the dog figured out that she was supposed to take her medication at 10 p.m., but she couldn't believe it at first. But if she didn't take her medication at 10, he would start barking by 10:04. And every night he would remind her. He was only a puppy. He was 8 months old. But he would remind her to take her medication. And then it got even better than that. Besides the different pills she was supposed to take, the doctor had given her an inhaler, and she was avoiding the inhaler because she thought she was taking so many medications already. And one night, the dog woke her up barking, and he was right in her face because she was having a lot of trouble breathing, and he forced her to use the inhaler. He brought it over to her and said, and basically forced her to use it because he knew that she needed the inhaler. And so she was just amazed at how intelligent he was and how he knew that she needed the inhaler, but also very grateful because she couldn't breathe.
It's an amazing story on things like that in terms of the dog are able to really understand what the owners need. And sometimes you don't have signs that can really explain things like that.
Yeah, we get Chicken Soup for the Soul stories all the time about these things that you just can't explain. So I've just learned to accept the fact that dogs and cats are incredibly intuitive and do save their owners' lives all the time.
That brings us to the category of Who Rescued Who. And this is another wonderful story, Early Warning System by Charlie S.
So this woman, she adopted a two-year-old terrier from the shelter. This poor little thing had been abused and abandoned by his previous owner, and Charlie showered her little terrier with love and kindness, and it took months before he understood that he was not going to be abandoned again or mistreated again. And once he got over his trauma and learned to trust her, she said he was like a reborn animal. He was happy, he was playful, he was eager to go with her wherever she went, and they became inseparable. And one night, he woke her up. It was a hot, muggy day, and then a hot, muggy night, and then all of a sudden there was a thunderstorm. And so she was just enjoying it. She was looking out the window at the rain and the thunder and the lightning and feeling all cozy, you know, inside. But he would not stop barking at her and trying to push her. And finally she thought, I guess I'd better pay attention to him. And so she started to get up and leave the bedroom, and all of a sudden there was a loud roar, and her whole building vibrated. She grabbed the dog, jumped into the hall closet, struggled to close the door, held the doorknob with her hand, and while the dog sat, you know, in her lap, and a massive tornado had hit the building. They sat in the closet, the tornado passed, and then another tornado hit. And they stayed in the closet again with her clutching the door. And then the second tornado passed, and they emerged from the closet, and the bed where the two of them had been was gone, covered with debris. A huge tree had slammed into the side of the apartment building, put a hole through the concrete floor between her and the apartment below her. If that dog hadn't forced her to get out of bed and move, she would have been killed. And so she was very shaken and very grateful that she had adopted this dog from the shelter.
It's just a beautiful story about sheltered dogs.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so common that this happens. So, yeah, it is. They are really incredible animals. It's hard to imagine how they ever got into the shelters, right? Because these are such wonderful animals. You wonder how somebody gave them up.
I know. The next category is four-legged therapists, and these are really cool stories. The first one is Seeing with the Heart by Gail Irwin.
So this dog is really incredible. This Gail has a dog who is blind, a little blind Springer Spaniel. And Gail would take this dog and do speeches to elementary school kids talking about her dog's disability. And, you know, it was a way of making kids understand that they should feel compassion for animals or people with disabilities and realize that they're just normal animals or people, but that they just happen to have a disability. But the amazing thing about this little blind terrier was that the terrier somehow, even though the terrier was blind, would be able to figure out which children in each classroom needed the most attention. And so this little dog, Sage, would blindly, you know, somehow sniff out, sense what was going on in the classroom. And so Gail talks about how she went into one classroom and Sage chose one particular student to go up and sit next to so the student could pet her. And it turned out that was the child in the classroom who was the most upset at that time because his parents were going through a divorce. And then another time, Sage picked a little third grade student, and then the teacher said, well, that little girl's grandfather had just died the week before, and that was the most needy child in the teacher's classroom that week, and Sage mm-hmm. picked her out. And then another time, Sage went and picked out a student who was visually impaired. Now, Sage was blind, but Sage went and picked the blind student in the classroom and went and sat with that child. And so the teachers were blown away every time by how Sage would pick the neediest child in the classroom. And this dog was never officially trained as a therapy dog, but she just had a gentle demeanor and this instinctive ability, even blind, to see which child needed help the most. And so Gail's conclusion is that her little dog sees with her heart, not with her eyes.
Yeah. If only we humans can do that. It
would
be wonderful.
That would be nice.
The last story that I picked out is in the same category, four-legged therapist, and this is just another one of those heartwarming, beautiful story. Breaking the Silence by Kimberly Campbell.
This is another great example of a dog understanding who needs help the most. So Kimberly used to take her rescued retired racing greyhound to a nursing facility with elderly residents, most of whom were wheelchair bound, and most of the residents eagerly anticipated the therapy dogs visiting them each week. But there was one old woman about 90 years old who hadn't spoken for a year and never left her room, But that week, the staff members convinced her to come out and join the other residents in seeing the dogs. And this retired greyhound just sensed that this was the woman who needed her the most. And so she went over to this very quiet lady, and the staff members couldn't believe it. The lady leaned over, petted the dog, and said, "What a good dog," and then started talking to the dog. And then the dog looked up at everybody and talked about how she had lost her own dog years ago and how that dog had been her dearest friend. And so the whole staff was moved by the fact that somebody had finally gotten through to this very quiet, very sad woman, and it was this wonderful little rescued dog.
It's just a beautiful story. So beautiful. What is your favorite story from The Cat Did What?
I guess my favorite story would be more in the rascal category. And in this story, this little cat had surgery, and so he, you know, had one of those collars on that keeps them from biting at their surgery, at the sutures, and this little cat would try to get out of that collar every single night. Sometimes he'd get it completely off. Sometimes he would just get it down around his waist so it was like a little skirt on him. And then finally, you know, he didn't have to wear the collar anymore. And so the first night that he didn't have to wear the collar, his owner thought, that's great, he'll be happy. So the owner wakes up the next morning expecting to find, you know, a happy cat. And what does she see? But the cat has the collar back around his neck. He went and put it back on, which was just so funny. After he spent a whole week removing it every night, he goes and voluntarily puts it back on again. That was my favorite cat story.
Wonderful. Well, it's funny, you know. I mean, it's the kind of thing where kids do that.
Yeah, like, exactly. And that's what it's like. It's like having kids, except with some special skills that kids don't even have.
Right.
You know, these special skills to be a therapist, to warn people of disease or imminent disaster.
Yeah. What's your favorite story in The Dog Did What?
So I really like these stories about how dogs or cats help to improve human relationships. And there was a really good story in the dog book by Diana Lynn. It's called Blendwell. And it's about how Diana, who had one son, married a man who had two sons, and they were all struggling to learn their roles in this new blended family. And then she and her new husband decided they were going to go out and get a puppy. And so they brought the puppy home, and the three boys immediately united because they all wanted to play with the puppy. And so the boys were laughing, and they named the puppy, and they were horsing around with this little dog. And it completely changed the family dynamic. And what Diana says about the puppy is he didn't know he was part of a blended family. He just knew that they were a family. And he didn't love one son more than another. He didn't look at somebody as a stepbrother or a stepparent. He just saw a family, his family. And that one little puppy blended that family together and solved the whole problem. And what a great idea, right? For somebody who does have a new blended family, it's a wonderful idea to bring in a new pet that is shared equally, and that little pet doesn't know, you know, who's a step and who's not, and whose biological parent is. And so I thought that was a wonderful tip.
It is. It was a beautiful story. You hit it right on the nail, because dogs and cats don't care. All they want is to be loved, to be petted, to be respected, and to be connected with everyone. So the pet themselves changed the dynamic of the whole family.
Yeah, and it made them realize, oh, we're all just kids. We're just parents. Mm-hmm. Everybody's the same. So it really was a great thing.
Yeah. Do you have a personal pet story that you can share with us?
Well, I was raised with dogs. We always had a dog. And we have four kids now, my husband and I, and one of them has two cats, and then two of them have dogs, and the one I'm the closest to is my daughter's dog, Riley because my daughter is in med school, and so she often needs my help with Riley, and so I'll drive up to my daughter's place, which is a couple hours away, and I'll pick up Riley and bring her home. And Riley is the funniest looking little dog. She's a pug, and you know pugs are funny looking anyway, right? Like in one of those alien movies, the pugs were aliens.
Right.
So this pug looks like an alien, but this is not even a normal pug. She's like a deformed alien. She's she has one side of her face is completely mushed in, and she's missing all her teeth on her lower right jaw. Her tongue hangs out on that side because there are no teeth.
Right.
On her right side, she has one tiny little blind eye. And then on her other side, she has one normal eye. So I'm always very concerned because she only has one working eye. And when people see this little pug, they stop and stare at her, and they take photos, and they laugh. She is the most beautiful dog inside, and she's brought so much joy into our lives. And this was a rescued dog. This little thing had a litter and then was thrown out on the street. She probably was thrown out of a puppy mill. And I just can't even imagine what she went through, but she immediately bonded with my daughter. She trusts humans. She's a wonderful little dog and such a good example of how a shelter dog can be an incredible pet.
Sure. I mean, I believe they can really truly connect in terms of they know who really loves them, and they can't wait to return that unconditional love back.
Yeah, and she's never, I mean, she was immediately housebroken. She doesn't bark. She's just an amazing dog.
Fantastic. What is next for Chicken Soup?
Well, we're really busy with our books. We have a new one coming out every month, and they're all extremely powerful. We also have our line of dog and cat food, and so we're very busy getting those into even more retailers because that's a very popular line of high-end dog and cat food. And then we have our food for people that we're working on, and so that's in 4,000 stores. So we're really busy being not just the book company that we started as, but also being a provider of comfort and wellness through food, food for humans and food for pets.
That's fantastic. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show, and we are very excited about hearing your wonderful recipe for living. So what do you have for us this morning?
Well, I guess I would like to talk about some of the things that I learned about living from these dog and cat books, and I think one of the things that I learned was don't be afraid to listen to somebody who maybe doesn't have the standing, and that would apply to people too. So, you know, listen to your dog or cat when they're trying to tell you something, just like people need to listen to humans who are trying to tell them something. Don't just assume that somebody doesn't have anything to tell you that's any good, because they very well might. I mean, I remember learning that from our book about Alzheimer's. People learn not to listen to somebody with Alzheimer's, but often they were telling you something that was quite valid that you needed to know. So I think that's a very good lesson for living that I picked up from these books. And another thing that I learned from these books is that you should realize that your cat or your dog or an unexpected person can come through for you when you need them. Like that story about the cat crawling into the man's lap and carefully avoiding his scar and purring and making him feel better when he had just come home from his cancer surgery. You should not rule out the possibility that your cat, your dog, or some unexpected human will actually come through for you when you need them. And I thought that was a very good lesson that I learned from these books as well.
Those are fantastic recipes for living, and you're so right in terms of if we pay attention to things that sometimes don't really howl at us so loud that we choose to ignore. These are the little mundane things that happen, or the very silent things that we can get, whether it's from our pets or even from people, then our lives will be so much better off. So that's just a wonderful idea and wonderful wisdom that you shared with us this morning. So thank you so much for that.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you for having me come on to talk about these wonderful new Chicken Soup for the Soul books, because I'm very excited about them, and it's really fun to review them with you.
Wonderful. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Alan Day, Allen started the first government-sponsored wild horse sanctuary in South Dakota. After successfully lobbying Congress to approve the idea, Allen received 1,500 wild horses in 1989 from the Bureau of Land Management. Allen and I will be discussing his recently released memoir, The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Amy, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.